Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Nazir Daf Samach Vav. This is the last Daf in this beautiful Masechta. Be'ezus Hashem will be Mesayim this Masechta today, and it's Hashem looking forward to starting Sota tomorrow. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Laura Berlin. All the neshamas that we learned for Shev and Aliyah from our learning. So we begin on Samach Hei Amud Beis by the bottom Mishnah, about 10-15 lines up in the bottom. The Mishnah begins, B'shiva Drachim Botkin Es Hazov. So here we introduce an idea that we've discussed a little bit, but haven't had recently in any detail, so I'll just give a little bit of an overview. A man who has a certain type of a discharge becomes a Zov. If he has two such discharges within the same day or in adjacent days, so then he will have a certain level of Tumah. This discharge is not zera, it is not blood, but it is a white type of a discharge that is not zera. So this discharge, often referred to as a gonorrheal type discharge, but by definition it can't be a gonorrheal type discharge because that would be a choli, and a choli is an external cause that brings about these discharges. As we'll see, there are seven things that bring about discharges that do not count towards making a person a zav. So here we're dealing with a man who's had a first discharge, and now we're going to examine him to see if his second discharge is in fact going to make him into a Zav. If he has a third discharge, then he becomes a Zav Gadol, and then he has to also bring Korbanos. But a man, if he has two discharges, is Tamei for 7 days. It's different by a woman. If she has two discharges, she's not Tamei for 7 days. She requires three discharges to be Tamei for 7 days. And in addition, her discharges are red discharges and not white discharges. So there are differences between a Zav and a Zava, both in terms of the dinim, of what constitutes a discharge, how often the discharges have to occur, what brings about 7 days counting versus also having to bring a carbon at the conclusion of the 7 days. So we're going to focus now on a man. So if the man has a seminal discharge, he has a zera discharge, so that can count as his first discharge towards becoming a zav. If, however, it wasn't a seminal discharge, but it was in fact a zav discharge, so then if the first one and the second one are both not brought by external causes, by external factors, and in fact they weren't semen, they weren't zera, so then in this situation, regardless of whether the third one is brought on by an external factor or not, he will become a Zav Gadol and have to go bring Korbanos. If the first one was Zera, so then if the second one is not going to be caused by external factors and is not Zera, so then he'll become a Zav. But then the third one will also, in that situation, also have to be brought on by not external factors. And in that situation only will he have the obligation to bring the Korbanos. So you need at least two of these discharges to be not brought by external factors in order to have to bring the Korbanos. But if only the second one is not brought on by external factors, that's enough to make the person a Zav. Even though the first one was brought on by external factors, it was Zera, or he had one of the external factors. What are these external factors that can negate a discharge from being called a Zav discharge for one of the dinim that I just mentioned? So the Mishnah tells us seven types of things can bring about these external discharges. So you have to examine the Zav, this person who may have had a Zav discharge, B'shiva Drachim Botkin as a Zav. You check him out in these seven ways, because if he had a discharge that would be excluded, so then it won't, if this, it's the second discharge, this won't make him into a Zav. And if the first discharge had also this question, so that definition of whether it was a Zav discharge or a external discharge causing it, external factor causing this discharge, so then that would be important in terms of whether he has to bring Korbanos or not. So the Mishnah tells us, Achelo Niskach Leziva, if the person has not yet been declared a full Zav, so then you have to examine the person to see if this discharge is a Zav. So again, the classical example would be the first discharge was Zera. He had a seminal discharge. Now, he has a second discharge. So if this charge was a true Ziva type of a discharge, he now would be Tame for 7 days. So you have to check him out to see if this second discharge was brought on by these external factors. If it's brought on by these external factors, it doesn't count. It's not called a Zav discharge. The Pesukim say the Ziva has to come by itself and not from an external factor. What are these seven external factors that you look for? So the first one is b'machol, and the second one is uvimishta, by eating certain foods and or drinking excessively. The best place to see the inside here is the Rosh. The Rosh can be found all the way in the bottom of Samach Vav and Aleph. Actually, when it says over here, b'machol, so the very, very last line with a little Aleph there tells us that there are certain types of machalim that can go bring about this discharge that would make it not considered as of discharge. So if you read that last line on the Rosh, where the Aleph is, it says, Sarach lomar, dein machilin oso, that the person didn't have any of these foods. Chagvi, the gabos or gabom. What are these? So the chagvi is chalav, milk. The gimel is gvina. The beis is beitza. And the yud is yayin. So if you had any of these four foods or beverages for the wine, or the gabom, that would be the mei grisin shalpul, some sort of a grits-like beanie food, or the liquid of that. Basar shamein is the beis, and then the mem, or some have it as a samach, is the morios, which is like fish brine. So any of these foods or liquids, if you have them, or if you have liquids in excess, here the Rush earlier on, four or five lines up from the wider lines in the Rush, where he says, ribui shtiyo, if you have too much to drink, all of these things are external factors that will bring about a person having a discharge, and it's not considered as of discharge. So that's the first two that you're checking for. Did he have any of these macholim, or did he have too much to drink? Number three is bimasa. The Rush explains he's carrying a heavy load, so that can also cause a person to have a discharge. Ukfitza, he's jumping about, he's doing heavy exercise, so that can also cause a person to have a discharge. It won't be a zov discharge. And ubecholi, if the person has certain types of illnesses, so that also won't bring this discharge to be called a zov discharge. It's coming because of the choli. That's why I mentioned the person has gonorrhea, so that's an illness. So therefore, by definition, it can't be a zov discharge. So those are the next three. So we're up to five right now. Then it says uvemarur mare ubehirur. So in Tosos, Diba Masul b'shiva drachim says the mare over here that we're talking about is shira ish v'isha niskakin zelaze. He sees two people. Unfortunately, he's witnessing something he should be looking at. He sees two people engaging in relations. A man and a woman engaging in relations. And the Masech Zavin, it brings down that Rav Yehuda says, even this would be, afilu ro behema chayav ov niskakim zelazet. That would be a example of seeing something that could lead to him having a discharge that would be a invalid type of a discharge for ziva. And as well, if he's mahara, if he's thinking about this, so that would as well go and exempt such a discharge from being called a zav discharge. So these are the seven things that you have to check out a zav for. However, Misha Niskach Laziva, once the person already has been declared a Zav, so he has two discharges, and both of them were Zav discharges, in this situation, ain't both, you know, so the third discharge you no longer have to check. Even it was Vadai that it came about because of an onus, in that situation, he still will now have to bring Karbanos. If the first discharge, however, was a Zera discharge, so then you have to check out the third discharge as well. So here they're referring to whatever the situation is that made the person to be a Vadai Zav, so he's had discharges that either the first and second, or if it was the first discharge was Zera, so then it would be the second and the third discharge, so then you don't have to check any further discharges. Whatever they are, they're going to continue his Ziva. In other words, if he's counting the Zayinikim, it's going to break apart the seven clean days that a Zav has to count. We're not familiar with a man counting seven clean days because we don't have the Tumah V'Tahara Dinim of Zav present today. By a woman, however, all the women, when they see blood, we treat them as if they were a Zava, and therefore they have to count always a Zayin Nikiyim. So this din is still applicable today in Taras HaMishpacha for a woman, but the din by a man, the Dinim of Tumah and Tara are totally gone. Yes, Hashem, the Mary Man of Mashiach will come, may some Eidish be returned, then these Dinim will be applicable again. So the Mishnah tells us that once a person is definitely a Zav, so you don't have to check him anymore because it's irrelevant whether it's caused or not by these external factors. It's going to go and break up his Zayin Nikiyim and continue his Ziva status. So in this situation, ain bokin oso. What happens if he has onso, if there was an external factor, or usveko, or a suffix situation? The more we'll explain what the suffix situation is, v'shichva zaro, or he has zera. So this also will make him tame. In what respect will this make him tame? So the Gemara will discuss this, shiraglayim ledover, because he's already a zob. So mistama, this isn't a mixture of zera and ziva. Because if it's a mixture of Zera and Ziva, so then it would only knock off one day, that day of the Zayin Nikiyim. If it's separate Ziva and not having Zera mixed in, so then, as we'll see from Psukim, then he has to be Sosa, the Zayin Nikiyim that he's counting. So therefore, since this person already has Raglayim Ledover, that's why this mission is here, because he already has legs to stand on, that this person is Zav already, so Mistama, he could have a discharge of aziva, type of a discharge, without having zera in it. So therefore, in this situation where it is brought on by an external factor, or is a suffix as to what it was, which we'll see in the Gemara, or it's shichva zera, so then the person remains tameh because raglayim ledover, and again, we'll see this a little bit more in the Gemara. Then the Mishnah goes on to a totally different din, which we're not going to have great discussions on in our Gemara. Hamakis chaver, if a person hits another person, rachmona litzlan, and this was a significant blow, it was a fatal type of a blow, the person didn't die yet. But amadua lemisa, and the basin said, yes, this is a fatal type of blow, and you're going to be chayv misa, you were warned, you were given hasra, and in fact, you said, I'm going to do it anyway, and then you almost kill this person, and they estimated that, yes, this will be a fatal blow. It just isn't died yet. So then, if this person doesn't die, the heikal mima shahoya, he actually gets better. But then, li'achamikan hichbidu meis, but then he did subsequently die, so then the Tanakhama says he's chayav, because they did estimate that this was a fatal blow, and the fact that he slightly got better in between doesn't take away from the fact that Reuven killed Shimon. And therefore, even though Shimon got better for a little bit of time, the blow was considered to be fatal by the doctors, and therefore, even though he didn't die right away, he just died 3 or 4 days later, let's say, and even though he got a little bit better in between, so this is the normal nature of this type of a fatal blow, and therefore, Reuven would be chayav for killing Shimon. However, Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees. Rabbi Nechemiah omer potter. In this situation, he's potter. Why? Shoglayim ledover. Again, that's why this mission is here, because it has the terminology, this lex to stand on. In other words, he got better. So therefore, one has to presume that it wasn't the original blow that killed him. He somehow got better from that original blow. And then some new complication came along, and therefore, you can't give the first person misa. Okay, now we're going to focus on the first part of the mission, the dinam of the zav. So Gemara says, mino hani mili. What is that going on? How do we know that one doesn't have to do a bedika for that third discharge? The person is a zav already. The second discharge was a vaday, a non-external factor caused discharge. The first one was also a vaday ziva type of a discharge. And therefore, the third one, you don't have to go check anymore. How do we know this? So I'm a Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Nassim says a pasuk. On my cross, the pasuk says, v'azav ezovo. Lazachar v'lanakeva. So this pasuk we darshan hazov es zovo. So Tosus points out zov is the first discharge, zovo is the second discharge, and then lazachar v'lanakeva is coming to compare the third discharge of the zov to the zova. So l'riya shlishis iskash l'nakeva, to teach us that just like by a woman, we don't look at whether it was caused or not by anything. By a woman, there's no causation. If the woman has a discharge, period. So here it's telling us that for the third discharge, because zav is discharge one, ezovo is discharge number two, and therefore, when it says lazachor v'lanakeva, so that's referring to the third discharge, and that we compare the man to the woman, that we don't look at causation. That's Rabbi Nosson's drasha. Eidigmar says, for Tanya, but we learn, Rabbi, now we have the Gersa Rabbi Elazar, but the correct wording, as you can see on the side, it brings down that it's Rabbi Eliezer, because that's going to be the Gemara later on. It's going to clearly say Rabbi Eliezer, so this is just a printer's error. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bashlishis, also Bodkino, so you have to go check him out. Why is that? Because he's going to Darshan, Hazov is one, S is two, Zovo is three. So it's only on the fourth one that we say Lazachar v'ladekeva. So that's going to be Rabbi Eliezer's shita. But Ravi's ain't bokin oso. So we compare the fourth discharge to the woman where we don't have to check him out. But the third discharge, we still do have to check him out. Was it or was it not caused by something else? So how can you tell me, therefore, that it's the third discharge and you don't have to? Rabbi Eliezer says it's the fourth discharge. So what are they arguing about? So as I already pointed out, Ela be'esim komifli, do you dash the word hazov es zovo? So the Tanakhama doesn't dash in the S. And Rabbi Eliezer dorish esim. He does dash in the S. And therefore, he has hazov 1, S 2, zovo 3. And only, lazachor l'anakeva, you only compare them for number 4. The Rabbanan lo dash esim. And the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, don't dash in the word S. Now, we quote the Mishnah, which said, Onso Sveiko, they're going to be Tmeim. Now, we turn to Samach Vav, Amud Aleph, the last daf in this Masechta, and we begin. Amar Rava, Rava tells us, Lo Temo, Sofik Chaza, Sofik Lo Chaza, don't tell me this Sofik over here is did he or did he not see. In that situation, as the Mefarish points out, the Mishum Hachi, the top Mefarish, Lo Mukmina Le Tuma, there would definitely not be Tuma over here. Not Le'inyun Chi of Karba, not to certainly make it be the third discharge that he had to bring a carbon, and not to even knock off the Zayinikim that he's already counting, because a man Zav has to start counting Zayinikim after two times. As we pointed out previously, a woman has to count after three times the Zayinikim, but not after two times. In any event, don't say this means did I, did or not see. In that situation, your Vaday wouldn't have the status of Korbanos, and you definitely wouldn't have, even being Soser, the Zayinikim. So what are we talking about? Elavadai Chaza. He definitely saw something. If he definitely saw something, what are we calling it? A Sofek? So the answer is Sofek Machmas Shichva Zera, Sofek Machmas Re'iyah. What was this discharge? Was it because of Zera? And therefore, that's really the critical factor here. Or was it a separate Re'iyah of just Ziva? So Kivon Sheniskach L'Tumah. Since this person has already had Zav discharges, we say Sveiko Tomei. In this situation, we do Sofek. We're not sure whether it was the Zera or was it not the Zera, just a pure Ria. We say Sofek is Tomei.
Then we quote the Mishnah. It says Shichvas Zaro Tmeya. The person has Zera, so they are going to be Tomei. Gemara questions and says Lamai. What possible reason could you be telling us this? Obviously, Ile Mo Lamaga. If you're talking about touching the Zera, so what does it have to do with being a Zav or not? Mi Gora Mi Shichvas Zera the Tar. The Shichvas Zera from a Tar person, and certainly from a Zav, is going to be Tomei by touching it. So therefore, what possible reason would you tell me that the Shichvas Zera is Tmeya? If it's talking about Maga, Shechel Zera is always Tamei B'Maga, but it's not Tamei B'Masa. So therefore, the Gemara says, Ela Zaro Shozov, the Zera, the Shechel Zera of a person who's a Zov, is also Mitamei B'Masa. It's telling us here that just by carrying it, even without touching it, you become Tamei. More questions. It says, who holds like that? That's not true. Man Shamis Loha, who is the opinion that says, Yom HaShechva Zerah Shal Zav Mitami B'masa? There is no such opinion. After all, this is a machlokis elsewhere, but it is not the correct answer. Ilema, if you want to tell me, it goes like the following Tana, Hai Tana, in the following Braisa, the Tanya. This is a machlokis with Rebbelezer and Yeshua. Rebbelezer Omer, Shichvas Zaro Shal Zav Eino Mitami B'masa. He, Befeirish, says that that's not true. So Rebbelezer certainly can't be the author of our Mishnah that says that if you wanted to hold, like we just suggested, that the Shichva Zera of a Zav is Metami B'masa, it can't be Rebbe Eliezer, because he, Befeirish, says, Shichva Zera Shal Zav Eino Metami B'masa. Oh, so mustn't it be then that it's his Bar Plukta, Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua Omer Metami B'masa, oh, that's the opinion that we're saying, that the Shichva Zera of a Zav is Metami B'masa, but that's not true, because Rabbi Yeshua says the only reason why it's Metami B'masa is a technicality. L'fi She'ev Shalah below Tzich Tzuche Ziva. That's because the Zera, it is impossible for the Zera not to also have some Ziva discharge within it. And that's why it's Matami B'masa. Everybody agrees that a Ziva discharge is Matami B'maga and Masa. And therefore, the reason why this Zera of the Zav is Matami B'masa is not because of the Zera. It's because it's impossible not to have Tzichsuche Ziva, little pieces of Ziva inside of it. But that implies that even Afilo Rabbi Yeshua, he holds Lo Amar that it's Matame B'masa El Mishum Tzichtzuche Ziva. It's only because of the Tzichtzuche Ziva that it's Matame B'masa. Implication being, Avo Beineh, if you just had pure Zera, Lo Amar, even Rabbi Yeshua would not hold that it's Matame B'masa. So both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua don't hold that pure Zera of a Zav is Matame B'masa. So how can you say that that's the answer? So Elo Amar Rav Adav Bar Abba, you know what the answer is? Lomar, when we say over here that the Shichva Zera is Temeya, teaching us Lomar, She'ein Tolimba, that we cannot say that the Ziva that comes out over here is due to a prior Zera discharge. And this is based upon a Braisa in Zovin, which has a whole discussion that we'll see this momentarily in a Machlokes, as to what is the status of Zera that then subsequently has Shichva Zera coming after it. So if it's within a certain period of time, we attribute the Ziva discharge to coming from the Zera. As Sava Rapapa, Kameh Rava Lememer, as Rapapa in front of Rava explained this sheet of Rada Rava saying, it's because the person had a release of Zera, and therefore that's why the Ziva came out. And therefore the Ziva is brought about by an external factor, i.e. the Zera. And therefore, this normal kula, that a Ziva discharge that follows Zera is not considered a regular full Ziva discharge, does not apply to a person who's already a Zav. Because Raglayim Ledover, and therefore Shichva Zaro is Temeya, that this Shichva Zera with the subsequent Ziva is going to be Metame. So therefore, that is the Chiddush of our Mishnah, as explained by Rabba de Rava, as explained by Rapapa Kamei de Rava. But Rava doesn't like this himself. When Rav Papa sent this to Rava, Rava responded and said, "Amalei Rava," he says, "but that's not true, because we learned in the Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Zavin as well, Gerishin is Gayer Mitame Miyad Beziva," or the Girsa that the Tosos has over here in Dibur HaMaschu. Amalei Rava, Rava responds to Rav Papa, and he says that Vaha Tanam, we learned in this Mishnah, Gerishin is Gayer Mitame Beziva Miyad. He switches around the words and he deletes the words Amale. So does the Rosh. And he says, Hohi Garsinan, this is what you have to do. Vamai, why not? Ha ain lecha holy goldamizeh. What's happening over here is that this Ger, who is becoming a convert, and he had a Shichva Zera discharge before he was Miskayer, and now he was Miskayer and he has a Ziva discharge. So if you're telling me that the Ziva causes the release of the Ziva, and therefore the Ziva is brought about by an external factor, so then that should apply over here with the Gershon Geyer. He had the Ziva discharge, albeit while he was a guy, and then he was Miskayer, and now he has the Ziva discharge. If you're saying it's purely due to the Choli of the release of the Zera that somehow facilitates the Ziva discharge to occur, so then that should occur by a guy as well, and it shouldn't be Metame. But the Mishnah clearly states that a Gershon Geyer is Metame immediately with Ziva discharge. He doesn't have to wait any period of time. And Elocha Holy Golem is that the conversion with the Bris Milah. That's a perfect good example of a illness. And if he had the Zera discharge, so then that, in fact, should mitigate against this, but you see that it doesn't. So therefore, this teretz of Rav Ada bar Abba, as explained by Rav Papa, is not correct. And therefore, Rava slugs it up. And therefore, it has nothing to do with the chulsha of the zera that causes a chulsha in a person when the zera comes out that allows this ziva to be somewhat mitigated. And in fact, it's just a halach l'moshe b'sina by a yid, but it doesn't apply to a guy who has this release of shichva zera, and if he's a mizgaya, therefore he's matame b'yab b'ziva. But therefore, if that's not the reasoning, so then we go back to our original question, why is the Zav, who has a Zera discharge, why is he Metami B'masa? It shouldn't be Metami B'masa, it should only be Metami B'maga, and not B'masa. So we're left with our original question. So Gemara answers, Ela Tanoihi, this is in fact a Machlokes Tanoim. And what is this Machlokes Tanoim? The Tanya, this is a different brisa, which says, Shichva Zera Shel Zav Metami B'masa, that the Shichva Zera that comes out of his Zav is in fact Mitame Miesla Ace. That's the first opinion over here. But Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer Yomo, it's Mitame only for that very day itself. And this is based upon Psukim, the Maikom, Ifligi. They're arguing about how to understand the Pasuk as Shmuel had said, because Shmuel had said there's two conflicting Psukim. They seem to disagree with each other. The Shmuel Rami, the first Pasuk says, Ksir, Kieb Chayish, Asher Loye Tahar, Mikre Laila. It says that you won't be Tahar because of something that happened at night. And then the next pasuk says, "Usiv lifnos erev yirchatz b'moyim." You have to go to the mikveh before it's nightfall, and that's how you become tar. So one opinion seems to say, "Man diomar miyei slice," that you go a 24-hour period of time for when the discharge occurred. You have to wait 24 hours. And diik, and he says that's because lifnos erev, because it says before nightfall. And the idach, the other opinion says diik, no mikra laila, if it occurs at night. In other words, you just wait until the next day. So it's not 24 hours; it's just till the end of the next day. So no, that's the explanation. That's the machlokas over there. It's matame b'masa. But the more question says, man d'yomer lifnos erev, according to the opinion, it says, you look at lifnos erev, and therefore it should be v'yeis la'eis. So then, what does he do? Hoksiv, mikra laila. What does he do with the words? Mikra laila, which seems to imply that it's only until the next night. So the Gemara says, Amalach, he says, Urcha de Keri, Lamasya Belelya. No, he's just explaining that the normal time when a person has a Keri discharge is at nighttime while he's sleeping. And therefore, that's why it says, Mikre Laila, because that's when it occurs. But the din, according to this opinion, is it's Matame, Bemaga, and Masa, Me'es La'es. That leads us into the very last Mishnah in this beautiful Masechta. The Mishnah says, Nazir Hayo Shmuel Kediri Rav Naroi. This opinion of Rabbi Naroi is that Shmuel Hanavi was made a Nazir while he was in utero. When Chana had davened for him, and Kosh Baruch Hu tells her through Eli that you're going to have a child, so she basically says that this child will be a Nazir. Shinema Umoro lo Yala Arosho. She says that now here we're translating the word Moro with a hey, not as fear, but that it would be a razor shall not go upon his head. Now,
we had learned earlier in the Masechta that only a father is allowed to do this. So all the Mefarshim ask, how is the mother, Chana, allowed to do this? So they bring down that Elkanah agreed. And Elkanah was the one that actually made Shmuel into the Nazir. Anyway, it's based upon this pasuk, Umora lo yala al rosho. The Namar b'shimshon umora, it says the word mora by shimshon, which is referring to a razor. The Namar b'shmuel umora, and therefore we learn out ma mora umor b'shimshon makes him into a Nazir. So af mora umor b'shmuel also makes him into a Nazir. And on this, Amr of Yosef questions, he says, wait a second, Balo, ein mora, ela shel boss of the dam. This mora isn't referring to a razor, but it's referring to fear of people. In other words, that Shmuel would not fear any other people. He wouldn't have the fear of anything but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Noroi says, that's not true. Amr Rabbi Noroi, when Shmuel went and chose David HaMelech to be the next Melech after Shaul, so he did it in silence. He didn't want to publicize the fact because he was afraid that if Shaul found out, Shaul would kill him. So he obviously had fear of Boss of Adam. So that's what Rav Noroi says back to Rav Yossi. Amar Rav Noroi, Bahalo Kvar Nemar. It says about Shmuel Hanabi, Bayomer Shmuel, he says, Eich Eilech, how he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can he go and anoint David HaMelech? Because Vishama Shaul, Shaul's going to hear Bargani, and Shaul's going to kill me. So therefore, you see that he was afraid. Shekvar Hu Yo'olav, Morah Shel Boss of Adam. So obviously, Rav Noroi says, when it says, Umore lo yale al rosho. It's not referring to fear of a person. It's referring to a razor won't go on his head. In other words, that Chana and Elkanah ordained Shmuel Hanabi to be a Nazir from utero. Okay, the Gemara starts off and tells us Amalei Rav Lechia Verei. Rav tells Chia his son, and we turn to the last daf in this Masechta Samach Vav Amud Beis, and he tells him as follows. Chatov uvarich. Be very careful that you should be the one to go and make the bracha. Make the bracha on benching, that you should be the one to say the benching al hakos. V'chein omalei Rav Huna l'rabba b'rei. And similarly, Rav Huna said to Rabba, his son, also, chatov, go and grab uvarich and try to go and make the bracha. Now, I thought one possible connection to be with this is that we should look forward to drinking wine. After we learn the entire Masech, the Nazir, we might get the impression that it's a great thing to be a Nazir, that one, in fact, should go be mazir asmo minayayin. So here we see these great Amorim saying, no, be the one to go and make the bracha. While a nazir could be yotzei with the bracha, but better to be the one to actually make the bracha and drink from the wine. Others suggest that because we're going to have a machlokas over here between Rav Yossi and Rav Noroi, so therefore we lump this in over here, even though it has nothing really to do with the Masechta. In any event, what do we see from over here? That both Rav told his son Chia and Rav Huna told his son Rabba, go be the one to go and be mezamein, be the one to lead the benching and to make the brachos. They used to have halacha lemaisa. This is still allowable today, except it's practically difficult for most people to follow rules, and therefore everybody benches to themselves. But still, the one who's mezamein should say the entire benching ideally out loud, or at least, at a minimum, the first bracha out loud. In any event, you see from here, Lememra, the Mevarich Adiv. You see from here that Rav and Rav Huna both held that it's preferable to be the one saying the bracha rather than the one that listens and answers Amen. But that seems to be going against the different brayos of Otanya, Rav Yossi Omer. In the following brayos of Yossi, he's the one that says, Gadol Ha'one, Amen, Yossi Ben Amvarich. It's better to be the one answering Amen rather than the one making the bracha. And to this, Rav Noroi, again, this is the machlokas of Yossi and Rav Noroi. That's why this is here, according to some. The Amar Lo Rav Noroi says, no, Hashemayim Kahu, you are correct, 100%, because Teida, Shahare Gul Yorim, the Gul Yorim are the weaker soldiers, Mizgorim, they start the battle first, the Muhamma, however, Vigiborim notes him, but the strong ones, they go finish it off. In other words, that the person who's making the bracha, okay, very nice. He's called the Gul Yorin. But the one who answers Amen, the Giborim, they're the ones that win. So therefore, here, Rav Noroi agrees with Rav Yossi, and therefore that seems to contradict what Rav told his son Chia and Rav Huna told his son Rabba. Go be the one to rush to be the leader of the benching rather than the ones that will bench by listening to the leader and answering Amen. So the Gemara says, no, Rav, as well as Rav Huna, they have the following Tana to hold, like, and it's in fact the Machlokas Tanoim, Tanoihi, because we just had the opinion of Rav Yossi and Rav Noroi. It says it's better to be the one to answer Amen, but this Brisa says, Echad Amavarech ve'echad Ona Amen b'mashma, both of them are doing right, the one who's making the bracha, the one who answers Amen, both of them are giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu brachos, however, Elish b'marin l'mavarech t'chila, but it's better to be the one that leads the benching rather than to be the one that just answers Amen. Oh, that goes exactly like Rav told his son Chia and Rav Huna told his son Rabba. Now we end off this Masechta the same way that we end off the Masechtas of Brachos, Yevamos, and Krisus. These are known as the Banayich, the Beis Nun Yud Chav, is the mnemonic for Brachos, Yevamos, Nazir, and Krisus. And each of them has a certain aspect of shalom to them. One mesefta is talking about the shalom bein Adam lamakom. One is talking about bein Adam lechadero. One is talking about bein ish leishto. And one is talking about between the guf and the neshama to make peace between them. So that's why we have four mesefta that end off with this concept of peace. That's brought down in the Aruch Lanier. In any event, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Elazar said the name of Rabbi Chanina, Tamidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, that the great Tamidei Chachamim of the world, they bring peace to the world. I've mentioned this many times, could I say it again? The reason why they bring peace to the world is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that there's a certain amount of Muhammad in the world, a certain amount of fighting in the world. So that fighting could be, Rahman al-Islam, between Ukraine and Russia. That fighting could be between the different countries of the world that have an argument about land. Or Rahman al-Islam could be fighting against Klai Yisrael. And therefore, the more fighting there is in the Beis Medrash, what we call Muhammad Shel Torah. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees 100x of Muhammad to be in the world, and if the Beis Medrash uses up 99 of that, so then there's only 1x left in the world to have Muhammad. Therefore, Tamidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, they're making peace in the world by having so much Muhammad in the Beis Medrash. Again, the very positive thing to have Muhammad Shel Torah. They go out as friends afterwards. They battle in the Beis Medrash, but they hold hands and they leave the Beis Medrash as best friends, and the arguments they have in the Beis Medrash don't carry over into real life. Oh, that's called Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, true Tamidei Chachamim. They only argue in the Beis Medrash, but they leave the Beis Medrash, they're the best of friends. Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, the families would be fighting in the Beis Medrash, but their families got along very, very well outside the Beis Medrash. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'chol Banayich Lumidei Hashem, V'rav Shalom Banoyich. All the children, all the banayich, will be students of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Limudei Hashem, and therefore there will be lots of peace, v'rav shalom, in the children. And the other mesechtas, they conclude with the following words, where it says, Al tikri banayich, elo bonayich. The children aren't the way to pronounce the word, but these are the builders. These are the builders of the world. The Tamidei Chachamim build the world. What a beautiful way to end this mesechta. What a beautiful mesechta Nazir was. Mitzvah Hashem, we look forward to returning to you. Hadron lecha kusim. Ein lehem nezeros, hadr hem hakusim ein lehem nezeros, hadr alach hakusim ein lehem nezeros, v'slik ala mesech denazir, v'slik ala mesech denazir, v'slik ala mesech denazir, v'yitz Hashem. We will return to this mesechta, but next, tomorrow, we start Yezus Hashem mesechta sota, just to give people a little encouragement and ask people to join learning the Daf Yomi, whether it's with this shiur or with any other shiur. Mesechta sota is one of the most beautiful mesechtas. There's a lot of agadat at the beginning. It's more halachos of sota, but that's chunks and chunks of Agadita and very interesting Agadita type Gemaras in the Masechta. It's a very, very, very enjoyable Masechta to learn. Mi'etz Hashem, I look very much forward to starting it tomorrow with the group of people that are listening as well. Mi'etz Hashem, all of Klai Yisrael should be starting this Masechta tomorrow, and we'll herald in Pesach and herald in Moshiach, so you can learning this Masechta. Have a wonderful day, and Mi'etz Hashem, look forward to starting Sota with you tomorrow.